We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 4:11, Paul Douglas, birthday boy. Dad, birthday boy. Alicia, are you going out to dinner?
You know, we all have that in common, right? We all have birthdays.
Thank God.
And, any day you can drag yourself to the window and look out is a
Amen.
Is a good day. So don't complain about how many years you've been on this planet.
No way. Be grateful for the next one.
As my mom used to say, it's only a number. It's a big number.
Yeah. Do you get exercised about birthdays?
No.
I don't either.
I really don't.
I love them, actually. As Dan Cook full well knows, I tout my birthday. I am happy about it. Bring me presents. It is usually a good day.
You know, I don't really believe the horoscope crap. I know a lot of people do, and
yeah,
I apologize
sure.
if I've offended you. If
so what are you? Are you a Cancer?
I'm a Gemini.
A Gemini.
The twin.
Okay.
Yeah. I married a twin.
Yeah, you did.
And,
yeah.
of course, my name is Doug, but on the air I go by Paul.
Oh,
and
right.
So it's a little weird.
It's like a twin personality.
Yeah, kind of.
Maybe it's prophetic.
I messed up.
No, it's all good. But happy birthday.
Thank you.
We're very
Thank
excited
you.
That it's your birthday. So send Paul a tweet at pdouglasweather.com, or pdouglasweather is his Twitter. Just wish him a happy birthday.
That would be very nice.
Oh, nice. And
sure.
let's talk about chemical castration. You know, so that's a fun thing to talk
well,
about on your birthday. But I want you to start because your story about, what is it called, new collar workers?
New collar. Instead of blue collar, new collar.
Fascinating.
The notion that you shouldn't have to have a four-year degree to be successful and to have the kind of life that you want to have.
I would agree with
And now,
all those.
Today, a four-year degree often comes with $100,000, $200,000 in debt.
Mm-hmm.
So many kids, you know, spend 20 years or longer trying to dig out from that. Anyway, I read something from the CEO of IBM that made me do a double take. I woke up thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday we said, what? There was the poll, 40% of Americans
favor
socialism.
Believe in socialism. Correct, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I'm a capitalist.
Sure.
The system has helped me out. I mean, I've worked hard, but I believe in capitalism. And yet, not everybody is benefiting from a free market.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do to try to match up the job skills that are in demand with the job skills that people actually have?
What do you do?
The CEO of IBM, a woman by the name of Virginia, she goes by Ginny Rometty.
Okay.
And she's pretty amazing. She said, I believe so much of the division in our country and other countries right now is because of skills. Basically, she said these are times of great economic and technological disruption. People feel unease. There is no safe gig. Things are moving so fast, the treadmill of technology. And so basically what she said is it can't just be about college degrees. The system has to work for everybody.
That's right.
IBM's chief executive, Ms. Rometty, calls this type of education training new-collar jobs, a play on the old blue-collar term, which refers to working-class gigs. In her view, Jor, people should be able to make a good living without needing a traditional four-year degree. So IBM is putting their money where their mouth is. They have a program. It's called P-Tech, and they're helping younger people get ahead in the tech world. It blends high school and college-level courses with an emphasis on vocational training and
is
internships.
It continuing education? Once they have a job,
yes.
they can go back and they could or advance whatever they're doing?
It's lifelong. It's, from what I can tell, it's lifelong learning.
And that has to be standard from now
yeah.
on. You can't just go to college and be done.
No.
Or anything. Or trade school and be done. It has to be lifelong learning.
You have to keep training. And again, did you have success with a guidance counselor in high school? Did your guidance counselor help you?
I don't remember my guidance.
Get into Syracuse. No?
No. No.
No?
No.
I would argue, and many argue, that what we need, people need counselors, help.
And mentors.
Mentors.
Yes.
To be able to,
that.
Mm-hmm. to say, hey, you know, mm-hmm. you got these skills,
mm-hmm.
and that's great, and there's this job opening up 20 miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But
sometimes you got to find your own mentors. They don't just appear in your life. Sometimes you got to go get them.
But in some cases, how do you prepare people for jobs, for industries that don't even exist today? So you need a wide range of skills, including social skills. But you should be able to get those at home. High-speed internet should not be a privilege. It should be a right.
Oh, you know, now you're talking like a socialist, buddy.
Oh, we don't say, hey, you live in Olivia. You can only have electricity 8 hours a day. We found a way to wire the United States. Everybody has electricity. Everybody has access to water.
Right.
Everybody should have access to high-speed internet.
I agree.
I gave a speech at Bemidji, and the mayor of Bemidji said, look, we have 1 gigabit speeds. And I said, what? 1 gigabit speeds. That's big. That's huge. And she said, and we're attracting tech startups.
Fantastic.
So why can't we wire the whole country? Why can't we provide mandates and incentives so that companies can get high-speed internet out to not just Hutchinson and the Twin City suburbs and Wilmer, but to every home? There has to be a way to do that so that everybody can benefit and take online training modules and have the internet speeds that are really required to be successful today. It's not optional.
And access to that lifelong learning.
Yes.
You don't have to be in a big city with a big teacher or whatever. You can just be online.
Anywhere. And I know a lot of tech startups would love to start up businesses in smaller towns where the costs are less. But you need high-speed internet. I think that's part of the inevitable solution. How do we wire America?
I want to just squeeze in one more story that we were looking at. I mentioned this chemical castration. Governor Kay Ivey signed a bill on Monday under Alabama state law that says requires people convicted of certain sex offenses to undergo chemical castration. Anyone convicted of a sex offense involving a child under the age of 13 will start receiving testosterone inhibiting medication a month before their release from prison. Most offenders will have to pay for their treatment. It'll be administered by the Department of Public Health until a judge decides medication is no longer necessary. Now, some people say chemical castration is a misnomer. The process leaves the testicles intact. It can be reversed. And sometimes it does not prevent a man from reproducing. It does not guarantee a man's sexual urge will be eliminated. Experts warn it's not a panacea and should be used with caution. But I say these sex offenders are predators. They often cannot be taught any other way. They often reoffend.
The rate of recidivism is very, very high.
Through the roof.
Yeah.
And anything you can do to stop these people who obviously cannot control themselves is, I think we got to try it. Cynthia's in her car. Been waiting to chime in on this. Jump in here on the chemical castration thing, Cynthia.
Hey, Cynthia.
Hey, and happy birthday, Paul.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I say hallelujah to that, Jordana.
Amen.
I totally. You know, in Bible times, they would have cut it off.
Oh, boy.
Okay? So to me, this is a more humane way to do it. Whether or not it works, that's going to be, you know, I guess it's going to depend on their, you know, physiology and the good Lord up above. But I am all for that.
I agree. And people say, oh, it's inhumane. What you did to that child was inhumane and has lifelong effects. And the fact that we can't trust you to not reoffend, you cannot walk among healthy people and especially innocent children. So whatever we can do to stop the rate of recidivism, I say go for it.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, that happened. That actually happened to my daughter when she was 10.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And
the
fella's locked up. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the DA in the state that he's in. And I said, you make sure you keep him there for his safety.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a butcher name with his name on it.
Oh, honey, I'm so sorry that happened.
Yeah. No, it was years ago. And, you know, it's all done. I'm just saying I am all for that.
Okay.
All for it.
Well, thanks for the call, Cynthia. Appreciate
you
chiming
in.
And you keep living the good life. And good luck to your daughter. Okay, honey?
Thank you.
You got it. We have time. Let's see. Justin, jump on in here, Justin.
Hi. Happy birthday, Paul.
Oh, thank you, Justin.
Sweet.
Thank you, sir.
I'd say cut him off.
Oh, boy.
Justin.
Okay, well.
I love when a dude calls in and says that.
Oh.
It ends up being more of a financial problem for everybody else.
Oh, you think the constant chemicals and maintenance and stuff.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Justin, thanks for the call. I tell you, this is very divisive. I mean, you know, some people are not in favor of it. But when you talk about the molestation and the rape of babies and kids, it's just hard not to see that in black and white.
And from what I understand, these are the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Hated people in prison. When they do go to prison, there is no safe space.
Not get much sympathy from me either.
For these perpetrators.
I get you. Oof. It's also 4:20. We'll continue with chatting about some of the stories that we're keeping an eye on, but you have a little weather therapy
Just
for us.
A little bit of weather therapy coming up here. There's a new GFS weather model, and I want to talk with Dan Cook.
Is she
and
hot?
You. Her name is Inga, and no, she's not hot, actually.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
She's not as hot as the European model.
Okay, just saying.
I want to talk about home run weather. Does the weather make a difference in the chance of hitting a big one, hitting a bomba? That's coming up next. How many home runs? Are we up to 127, Dan? I think. Yeah, 127.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
And there's a link between weather and the ability to hit home runs.
Mm-hmm.
All other things being equal, if it's a warm, sticky day, high dew point, 60s, 70s. Very humid weather tends to be more conducive. The air is less dense on the hot, humid days, and balls tend to fly farther.
Doesn't that seem, you know, on the surface, and I believe you, obviously, you know this in way more than I ever could, but doesn't that seem almost illogical in the sense that if the air feels heavy, right, that's what we're used to with humidity, it feels heavy, wouldn't that, you know, feel more dense than, I mean, explain the lack of density. How did, I mean, is it just the fact that the moisture is coming out of the air? Is that what leads to the
yeah, why is the air more less dense when it's humid?
It is counterintuitive.
Right, that's
there
the term
is there is no question. When there is more moisture in the air, more water vapor, invisible water vapor.
Yeah.
The air is actually less dense than on a cold, dry day with a relative humidity down around 20%, where your skin itches.
You'd also think that because it's humid, maybe the ball would suck up a little more moisture and be a little heavier. I don't know.
Where I'm going with this is, you know, people have made all these theories about why the Twins are hitting so many home runs. And I just want to say,
how about because they're awesome? Can we just go there?
Well, they've got better players.
Thank you.
That's about what it comes
to. We have not had the hot, sticky, high dew point days so far this spring.
So to your point,
take that off the table.
They're on a record pace as it is. Now, as we're going to get into July and August when it gets hot and sticky,
you could make the case that, yes, the number of home runs, if they keep playing the way they've been playing, the number of home runs should increase as we head into primetime humidity. Late June, July, into early August.
So if you have outfield seats, bring a glove or a hard hat.
Helmet, headgear.
Well, that's the same thing.
Blocking, okay.
Yeah. And
A promotion one time. I'm sorry, Paul. They did a promotion one time when Mark McGwire was on his record pace, where they let fans in to watch him hit batting practice, and they did, like, promotional hard hats for people out in the stands.
Cute.
Right.
It's very clever.
Yeah.
And necessary.
Well, I mean, there's that.
I read an article, speaking of the Twins here, Keep Calm and Mash, How the Relaxed Twins Are Rewriting Home Run Hitting History. This was at ESPN.com. Mm-hmm. And the author said their 388 runs scored are the most through 65 games since the franchise relocated to Minnesota back in 1961. Right now, the Twins on pace to hit a whopping 317 home runs, which would shatter the franchise record of 225 set in 63 and blow by the major league record of 267 set by the Yankees.
Think about that.
Just last year.
That's amazing.
Not only are you going to beat the major league record, but I mean, you're on pace to top it by 50 home runs.
That's amazing.
By the way, the Yankees had 9 home runs through 65 games last season, 18 fewer than the Twins at the same point. So,
is this a weather segment?
And then he talked about the author
weather
talked
affects
about
baseball.
Rocco Baldelli, again, preaching personal responsibility, Coach Baldelli, but does it in a manner in which each player feels accountable without feeling burdened by having to conform to strict norms and regulations. We have high expectations for our players, Baldelli said. They are not demands. We want our players to be relaxed when they show up to the field. The more confident and relaxed you are when you show up, the more comfortable you are, I think the better you play. I know you feel the same way, right? At the beginning of
every show.
Radio show.
Yeah,
are you relaxed?
More comfortable? I come in my pajamas.
Massage? Yeah.
Very comfortable.
Anyway, sorry. Thank you for indulging me on the tangent. NOAA has a new weather model, the GFS, the Global Forecast System, which is the global model run by NOAA, got an upgrade, a significant upgrade to include, Jor, write this down, a new dynamical core called the Finite Volume Cubed Sphere.
Oh, well, thank God, because one without it just wouldn't be effective at all. I was worried about that.
The GFS FV3, the upgrade will drive global numerical weather prediction into the future and hopefully improve the forecasts of severe weather, winter storms, tropical cyclones, hurricanes. And I'm rooting for the home team. I want NOAA to win. I want the United States to have the best weather model on the planet. It's still the damn European model. Mm-hmm. The European model is still better. Objectively, when you compare the two, apples and oranges. But
can't we steal that intellectual property? I mean, hasn't China hacked into that already?
That's a great question.
I'm not saying go after it, but, you know.
I'll bet you it is, whatever they're doing, they are creating the most accurate forecasts on the planet. May, the second wettest month on record in the United States, and it sealed the last 12 months, Jor, as the country's wettest year-long period. I think farmers are nodding their heads, yes. Record flooding on the Mississippi. Barges can't get through. The Arkansas River in the south, flooding communities that have never flooded before. People who thought they were safe have water in their living rooms. So another very, very wet spring. And at some point, we got to come out of this, but I don't see it looking out 10 days. Cool and wet into next week. Cooler than average.
When we return, the answer to the burning question, how often and why do women pleasure themselves? The answer is going to surprise you next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, I teased it. Now I'm going to give you the goods. Why do women really pleasure themselves and how often do they do it? Oh. Study was led by the Institute for Sex Counseling and Sexual Sciences. It enrolled 425 women in Germany. Okay. So they completed a survey. Hundreds of women were quizzed on how they feel good. All right. Researchers discovered that more than one in four women pleasure themselves up to three times a week. Almost one in five prefer to go solo than use a partner. And why do they do it? That is an excellent question. They do it for relaxation and stress coping. I know that's not what you thought. So they do it for relaxation and stress coping, probably helps them sleep also. Relaxation and stress coping. And now you know the answer to the burning question. About three times a week, relaxation, stress coping.
Where do you get off talking about this on the radio?
That's getting a little dangerous.
Where is it written?
We better be done before I get fired.
So I don't even know if I can read this now.
You have to.
The headline says, Booty Slapping Championships launched in Russia.
Ooh, what's
after
this?
The recent success of a face slapping craze.
That was crazy video. We saw that face slapping thing. That was crazy.
What is going on in Russia? I don't understand.
Must be really bored.
What's going on? Russian women are competing in a new backside slapping tournament following the sensational rise of the male face slapping competitions. That was back in March. In Siberia, went viral around the world as these concussion-inducing facial slaps drew interest from athletes and podcast host Joe Rogan, among others. The new female version is the Booty Slapping Championship.
Oh boy.
Saw women spanking each other's bottoms on stage.
This was created by a man, for
Yashanky.
Sure. That doesn't sound fun.
They attempt to hit each other's rear end so hard that they cause their opponent to step forward. It's a lot less brutal than men slapping each other hard.
Equally as dumb, though.
Face.
Equally as dumb.
Many of the competitors were super fit models who spend much of their time honing their buttocks to withstand the onslaught of competition.
Again, created by a man. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt.
I'm curious now. I need to see this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on ESPN 7.
More disturbing trends in Brazil. C-section parties are all the rage. Seriously, white-gloved women laid out chocolates, cakes on silver trays. The guests are arriving at the hospital. It is a special occasion. Elective cesarean sections have long been a status symbol among Brazil's elite, a way for some of the country's wealthier women to avoid the unpredictability of natural childbirth. Oh, geez. I guess it's inconvenient when your water breaks, I guess. The country has one of the highest rates of cesarean births in the world, and now they're having parties for it. The new phenomenon is inspiring new party planners, makeup artists, caterers. They're turning on these highly orchestrated operations, making them into wedding-like spectacles produced for an audience. The main event, of course, is the birth itself.
They're streaming it?
No, it's viewed by friends and family from the gallery, which is built for this purpose. Like, if you've ever gone to a surgery...
Like a sporting event?
Yes, like a surgery room that has a window where, you know, medical reps or other doctors can learn in a teaching hospital. Well, now, these people are having a party while you're getting your stomach cut open for your cesarean section. And the doctor then holds up the baby like a prize. Everybody claps and toasts and drinks.
This is Brazil?
And yes, and the women have their hair and makeup done for the cesarean, and it's all a big party.
Good God.
I love a good party, but that seems a little...
Does the doc cradle the kid? Does he go Lion King and do the Simba bit?
He went all Lion King.
He went all Lion King?
Yeah, he went all... In this picture, it's all Lion King. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right. If you're ever attacked by a bear, bite off its tongue.
Okay, I'll make a note.
A gentleman by the name of Nikolai Irgit was collecting shed antlers in the Tuva region of Siberia. Mm-hmm. We're back to Siberia. Mm-hmm. When they're not butt-slapping, they're looking around
they're
for antlers.
They're biting bears' fingers off.
Apparently, Irgit met a brown bear, one of the largest carnivores, in fact, second only to its cousin, the polar bear. Scared, rightfully so, Irgit screamed at the beast, hoping the bear, the brown bear, would go away. Instead, it charged the lad, chomping down on his head, also injuring his hands and stomach. The police report said that as the bear had its teeth locked around his skull, Irgit managed to bite the bear's tongue off, after which time the bear was frightened and ran away.
You think? So the man's head is in his jaws.
Yes.
And he thinks to bite his tongue.
He thinks to bite his tongue.
Wow.
So
I'd have been dead.
To review, punch sharks on the nose, mm-hmm. poke crocodiles in the eye, and bite bears' tongues off.
Wow.
By the way, Irgit is being prosecuted by local police for illegally collecting antlers.
Oh, my God.
I think they'd give him a pass on that one. Did the tongue taste like chicken?
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
It's a bad day. Moving on with the pet theme, or the animal theme, as it would be. You've heard of gender reveal parties.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a family in, shockingly enough, Florida had an unusual gender reveal party. Their pet alligator took a few chomps and announced their new baby girl. Stacy Childs-Wright and her husband Chad are expecting. They decided a special way to announce the child's gender. They have a pet alligator, Amos. This will be their 10th child with their blended family. So
Whoa.
They gave Amos a balloon, which I'm sure is not good for Amos, like dogs that can swallow them and die. Yet after a couple of tries, his jaws clamped down on the balloon, revealing a cloud of pink powder. Amos has been part of the family, by the way, since 2000. Only in Florida.
Oh, this was Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, I have a Tesla in the garage, mm-hmm. and I also have a BMW in the garage. Love them both. Apparently, there's video of a driver in California, sound asleep, sailing down the 405 freeway in L.A. during rush hour traffic. Yes. And apparently, people called 911. They saw the sleepy driver. The driver was still passed out when he took the 110 freeway exit. Now, people are questioning, as more people use autopilot, how do you keep them from dozing and driving? I have autopilot.
Wait, so he was asleep? The car
was
on autopilot?
Apparently, he was asleep, and the car was driving itself.
Is that illegal?
Which it does. No, not yet.
It's not yet, right? We haven't even had that instance.
But
now,
on the freeways now, you can use the autopilot and it will drive itself.
Yeah, but you can't take a nap.
No, you're not. And here's the thing. You have to keep your hands on the steering wheel.
No napping,
so,
folks.
Unless the guy clutched the steering wheel and slumped over, then it would keep on driving.
Oh.
Because it still senses that there's a driver with his or her hands on the steering wheel.
That would freak me out.
Not exactly sure we have all the information on there, but yeah, that would be kind of weird if somebody's sleeping and passing you.
Let's stick with our driving theme. If you're going to speed, you might not want to upload your speeding video to YouTube.
No.
Utah man was booked into jail on Friday, faces multiple driving-related charges after Utah Highway Patrol officials used videos from his YouTube account as evidence in court documents.
They got an email.
The Utah Highway Patrol got an email complaining about a reckless driver on Interstate 15 who then uploaded the dash cam video to his YouTube account. It was time-stamped April 12th, 2019, 10:30 in the morning. It shows everything. It shows him swerving around an Impala, speeding up, crossing multiple lanes, clearly reckless driving. Well, the court documents say he had multiple videos depicting his reckless driving and self-commentary. He openly talks about it. So he's seen passing cars on the median, on the interstate. He faces 9 charges, including reckless driving, speeding, and failure to signal. And you cannot be charged with stupidity, but alas, we might want to consider that.
Wow.
Everybody thinks they can get away with it.
Yes.
All right, let me squeeze this in. A guy apparently tumbled 800 feet into a volcano. And then,
taking a selfie?
Well, he may have been, or he just might have been on the lip of this thing, and the ground started to crumble. An Oregon man survived an 800-foot fall into Crater Lake, literally, which is on the lip of a volcano.
Wow.
And a helicopter was able to reach him within 15 minutes. They kind of wrote the guy off,
and they were
amazed when he was seen walking around after falling 800 feet.
You better buy a lottery ticket if that's your day. Like Bear Guy should have bought a lottery ticket. You're lucky.
A few times every year, visitors get too close and fall, often resulting in severe injury or death, according to Crater Lake. The latest advice from the park, don't get too close.
Don't fall in.
Yeah,
good
if
advice.
You're standing on the edge of a volcano, take it serious.
Yeah, and maybe that's your first wrong move, stand on the edge of a volcano.
Yeah.
Fly your drone or whatever, but don't stand
very
on
Darwinian.
The edge of your volcano.
Yeah.
Current time is 4:48. That is a Wixon Jewelers time check, specializing in the rare and exceptional. Wixon offers an incredible selection of large diamonds, rare gemstones, and fine timepieces.
So something interesting going on in Seattle. I have a son who lives out there, a daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Did they send
city.
You a birthday card? Because today's your birthday.
I got an email email and a text.
Very nice.
Yeah.
You'll take it.
That's fine, yeah.
I don't stand on ceremony when it comes
beggars
to cards.
Beggars can't be choosers. I'm just happy they thought of me. I don't care.
Good.
Anyway, King County, which includes Seattle, became the first city in America late last year to stop charging people for possessing small amounts of drugs.
Wow.
All drugs, heroin, meth, crack included, not just weed, but the heavy stuff.
Yeah, because Minneapolis did this a few months ago just for weed, though.
People who once would have been locked up are now immediately offered help. The approach, which is being considered elsewhere, including Boston, and Philadelphia, basically, can a major American city beat drug abuse by treating it, Jore, as a public health crisis rather than a crime? Exactly. What they found in King County, which is where Seattle is that taxpayers were spending $3 million a year to prosecute 800 to 1,000 drug possession cases, but it was a revolving door.
That's right.
So we'll see. I mean, encourage treatment. A more holistic approach. Mm-hmm. Will it work? We shall see.
And you know what they were doing wasn't working, so they changed it up, right? That's all. You got to try.
You got to try.
You
got to
try.
Not
something,
everything's going to work.
You got to try. Locally here, our neighbors, some neighbors are fighting city council because an Airbnb kind of rental apartment building is going now to be allocated next to a regular apartment building. Downtown neighbors are protesting plans to turn an entire building into basically an Airbnb. There's 122 units. It's on 205 Park Avenue. And there are 122 unit apartments. 94 of them are going to be associated as an Airbnb. Well, the neighbors next to that building say, no, we don't want this. The city sold it to a private developer, and that's the developer's plans for it. And the neighbors next door are saying, you know what? We don't want this. It's like having a hotel next door. It was an apartment building, and now you kind of change the energy. people don't live there all the time. They're concerned they're not going to take care of it. They might have riotous parties. They're in and out. They have no ownership of it. So it is different living next to a full-time Airbnb than it is living next to another apartment building.
It's basically, and weren't tenants nearby concerned that they were changing the game as the game went on, right? I mean,
because nobody knew about
nobody
this.
Knew that right. They were going to convert these into Airbnb. I think it's all about transparency. If you tell people, hey, mm-hmm. here's what we're planning, and then give people a chance to react. But nobody likes unpleasant surprises.
That's right. And you know what's interesting also about this is that we have a housing shortage anyway. So using this as an Airbnb, I understand it might be a moneymaker, but we really need affordable housing downtown. And this is, it seems to be going against the grain of what is actually necessary. So could be a tone-deaf builder, could be neighbors who are screwed, who are just getting an Airbnb next door because it doesn't seem to be any laws against it. So we'll see how it shakes out in those buildings at 205 Park Avenue.
Okay.
When we return, Paul.
What?
We're going to check in with Henry Lake. He's live at Target Field. We're going to check in with him. Again, they're going to play Seattle again tonight. So first pitch, pregame is 6:30. First pitch at 7:10. We'll check in with Henry, see what the mood is like out there.
And speaking of sports, we're going to re-examine the whole 13-0 trouncing the U.S. women soccer team against Thailand. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that? What do you make of that? Were they just doing what they were supposed to do? They're getting a lot of criticism.